Today we continue with our sermon series regarding the way, or RE the way, as we listen for the way of Jesus through our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The word of God for the people of God. This morning's passage is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and we hear these admonitions about salt and light just after the Beatitudes, the blessed B's or the blessed R's that we heard about just last Sunday. So just after the Beatitude blessings, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn, and so on, we hear that we are salt of the earth. In a low-sodium diet, 21st century context, it can take our brains a moment to think about the meaning of light and salt in a first century context. I wonder if you can even imagine a world without electricity, where a single wick in oil could be seen at a significant distance because the night sky was so beautifully devoid of light pollution. I wonder what it was like to live in a world where access to salt could mean life or death. Salt was needed for preservation to keep food shelf stable, so to speak, and I wonder how much it helped people rebalance those electrolytes on long, hot journeys long before we knew what electrolytes were. In a first century context, I imagine worth their weight in salt might have held more meaning on a daily survival level than the phrase worth their weight in gold means to us today. Salt was expensive and precious and necessary for survival on a number of levels. So I imagine that hearing Jesus say this would have been a really uplifting moment, maybe even a little flattering. What a blessing to hear words as extravagant as these from Jesus. You are the light bearers in the world. You do not have to do anything. Just receive this blessing from Jesus. You are carrying light. You are the salt of the earth. But blessings are not so easy to receive, are they? I wonder if that's why Jesus uses such hilarious examples here to sort of startle us into acknowledging the profundity of Jesus' message. You all didn't find this passage hilarious with all of its salt trampling and mention of barring from the kingdom of heaven? Apparently not. I think it's because we can get caught up in the initial shock of the image of trampling and exclusion from the kingdom of heaven, that it can be easy for us to totally miss the lighter side of what Jesus actually offers here to those gathered. If you put a light, also known as a fire, under a basket made of flammable material, you aren't just going to have a little light anymore. You are going to have an accidental bonfire. Putting your proverbial light under a bushel basket is not going to keep the light from shining. It's only going to shine brighter, because light has a way of growing even when we attempt to cover it up. The light will get out one way or another, so look out where you're placing it. The scripture ought to have one of those do not try this at home warnings in front of it, like the variety of warnings that cause you to stop and think, you know, someone had to go and try that in order for that warning to end up there. The sort of warning, do not eat, this is soap. It is intended for external use only. Warning, do not put your light under a bushel basket. It might catch fire. This will not end well. Remove the candle and let the light shine. These warnings are essentially asking us not to do things that would just be downright ridiculous. Can salt lose its saltiness? As one scholar points out, and by the way, I love that it took a scholar to point this out, if you want salt to go away, you have to do that by diluting it. And then really it just dissolves. You can't keep a salt crystal intact and have it just lose its saltiness, just like you can't put a candle under a basket without the whole thing catching fire and causing a blaze. So instead of fearfully worrying about the likelihood that we are going to be trampled underfoot or barred from the kingdom of heaven if we don't complete this or do this or live into this directive, this text offers us an invitation to simply accept a profound blessing from Jesus. The blessing to be. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are these things. You. Jesus is reminding us of who we are. We are salt. We are light. We can no more lose these than salt can lose its saltiness or than fire can be contained by putting it under wicker. So we may be faced initially in this text, as scholar David Lowes puts it, with the insidious temptation to hear Jesus' words as requirement rather than blessing, as command rather than commissioning. But when that temptation sneaks up on us, we would do well to remember that the bar Jesus sets for us at the end of this morning's passage comes to us in the form of yet another little giggle. Jesus says in verse 20, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Does anyone here remember how much Jesus tends to applaud the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew? Spoiler alert, they aren't typically the stars of the Jesus story. Breathe deeply. You are salt. You carry the light that God created to be held in particular by you. This passage is all about remembering who God created us to be. It's not about trying to outrighteous each other. It's about getting back to that fundamental makeup of who God created us to be. It is time for us to remember who we are whenever we find that we have become disjointed or out of sync or we've lost our way in living authentically as our truest, saltiest, most light-filled selves. Remembering who we are isn't just about looking in the past and recalling memories, though. Remembering is about putting those pieces back together so that we can live as whole people. We are aiming for the full sodium life as God created us, not settling for diluted living or watered-down versions of ourselves. Jesus, the light of the world, invites us this morning to remember that these lives that we live are precious to God. Salt is the preserver of life, that which makes food last and stay safe to eat. Salt, the preserver of life, is necessary for survival. It is life in the ancient world. You are salt. You are as precious and as necessary. So what in the world does that mean for you to remember who you are in the truest and most meaningful sense? Something tells me that very few of us will have our aha moments about getting back to God, who God created us to be, by staring nightly at our sea salt shakers tucked in the pantry, or by conversing with the girl in the yellow raincoat on the canister of Morton's in the cupboard. So instead of leaving here and then sauntering aimlessly down the baking aisle at the grocery store, try asking yourself these questions. First, does my life feel diluted in some way? We know salt theoretically can't lose its saltiness, but we also know that a handful of salt in a bathtub is very different than a tablespoon of salt in a water bottle. Where do you need to become a little more concentrated? Now, this can take some really serious assessment time to discern what we need to let go down the drain so we can focus more deeply and intently where God is inviting us to dwell. Does my life feel watered down, even if it's with too much of a good thing? And if so, where do I need to become a little more concentrated? Second, Jesus uses everyday images to help us get really rooted in our relationships with God and each other. Salt is daily currency. Light is literally an everyday occurrence, whether we are sighted or not. Jesus invites us to become centered in God in a daily way. So remember daily that you are precious as salt, as needed in this world as salt, and that your very life can be life-giving as you begin to take part in God's unfolding narrative of grace in you. Jesus calls us to remember in a daily way. It's why we remember him through everyday stuff of bread and cup, sustenance meant to ground us and recenter us in the holy. Whenever we eat or drink, remember. Take time to put those pieces back together every single day. Because God is with us, and God is with you. You are created, you are precious, you are known, you are deeply held, and very important. There is a light that is for you in particular to pick up and hold in this world, and we need you to let that particular light shine. This is our invitation from Jesus to remember that our daily lives matter to God. So what part of any of that is difficult for you to hear or to believe? Did you shy away from hearing you are precious, that you are known, that you are important or deeply held? Do you feel a little awkward with the idea that your daily life matters to God, sensing a readiness within to connect more intentionally with God in the day-to-day? I encourage you to listen to the discomfort that comes from remembering that we are salt and we are light. What is the invitation for you today within your discomfort? Because there may be a way that the Spirit is inviting you to be remembered internally, to come back together in greater wholeness inside your own spirit so that we can live externally in ways that foster greater wholeness in this world as we go. And third, I wonder why your wholeness in particular, I wonder why that matters to God and to the world that God created. This world that God so loves, because your particular wholeness, dear salt and light, could have such an impact on the saltiness of this world. When people of God remember the love in which they are fashioned, when people strive to live from a more deeply centered space of connection to the Holy One, it is compelling, it is inviting, and it is contagious. Wholeness regained invites others to contemplate their places of fracture and disarray and to wonder about what wholeness might look like for them too. Wholeness inspires wholeness. Good news like that travels faster than we might imagine, and just like that flame, it cannot be contained. And you, dear salt and light, are invited to live the good news in which you are created and in which this day you can be remembered. So I encourage you to go about this week praying about what it might look like for you to be put back together, to be remembered in the parts of your heart or your life or your physical or emotional or mental health, your wholeness, What does that look like in the spaces where you need it most? Seek out the parts of life that feel watered down and diluted, and think about how you can begin really concentrating more on what matters most to God in your life, at the Spirit's leading. And finally, ask God what wholeness looks like for you in a daily way. Not a pie in the sky, intellectual, theoretical way, but in a daily way, in a daily bread kind of way. Frayed edges can be mended, friends, and it is time. Margins can be expanded, and it is time. Grief can be tended well. It is time. So do the work this week of remembering with God's help in whatever way you need it. For you are truly precious as salt, and you go out into this world every single day, carrying the light that God has entrusted to you in particular, not because of what you do, but simply because of who you are. Will you pray with me? God of light, God of love, open our eyes to see the world through your compassion. Open our minds to understand the world through your wisdom, and open our hearts to receive the world through your love. Teach us to live day by blessed day as though you remember us, as we remember you. You who call us salt, you who call us to be bearers of light, we are yours, Holy One, so lead us toward wholeness. Lead us toward the center of who you created us to be. Lead us toward your center, that we might simply be in your holy name. Amen.